The Gemara on Tzadi Beza Min Aleph brings up a suffix. When the Poel eats, is the Poel eating Mishelo, or is he eating Mishel Shamayim? What does that mean, Mishelo or Mishel Shamayim? So Rashi explains, Mishelo means it's part of his salary. The Torah looks at it, the Torah comes and the Torah says, in addition to paying him $50 to work for the hour or for the day, in addition to that, you also need to give him the ability to eat, and what he eats is part of his salary. It's his. It's built in part of the salary. That's if you hold Mishelo. If you hold Mishel Shamayim, it means it's not part of his salary. This is not something that we look at as included in part of paying him for what he's doing. Rather, the Torah has a concept, like it has a concept of the Matnos Aniyim, that poor people are able to eat from the corner of the field that you leave. The Torah has an idea, it has a gift, and the gift is for a worker when he's in the field, he's able to eat. He's able to take from the foods that he's working and he's able to eat. What is the difference if you call it his salary or if you just call it this gift that he's entitled to? So the Gemara gives us the Nafka Mina. We don't have to think up one on our own. The Gemara gives us the Nafka Mina, and the Nafka Mina here helps clarify what the difference was between Mishelo and Mishel Shamayim. And the Gemara says the Nafka Mina is, can he state that he wants it to go to his wife and his kids instead of to him? If it's considered part of his salary, the amount that he would eat while he's working is part of his salary, so then he has the ability to say, instead of me eating it, I'm going to give it to my wife and to my kids. That's if you hold Mishelo. However, if you hold Mishel Shamayim, then he's not able to, because this is not something that he's entitled to as part of his salary. Rather, it's something the Torah says, while you're working, you can eat. So while you're in the field, you're able to take off of the tree, and you're able to eat. But it's only for you while you're working. It's Mishel Shamayim. It's not yours. It's not Mishelo. You're not eating from your own stuff. You're eating something that was given to you as a gift from God. And therefore, it's only for you, and you can't give it to your wife and to your children. As the Lashon the Braisa says, if he says, Tenu le'ishti u'levanai, ain shomen lo. We don't listen to him. Okay. There is a machlokas, though, Rashi and Tosos, on what exactly Mishel Shamayim means. At what point does he get it then? If you hold it to Mishelo, it means it's his, it's part of his salary. It's ke'ilu in a certain sense, he gets it from the beginning. But according to the perspective that it's Mishel Shamayim, he doesn't have the right to divert it to his wife and to his kids. His only right is for him to take it and for him to eat it. So when does he become the owner of that fruit? When does it become his? When does the Torah give it to him? So Rashi says it's his once he physically takes it. When it's matal yadeh, it's his. However, Tosfos says, and the Gra points out that Tosfos here is arguing on Rashi, Tosfos writes that it's his when? When it's in his mouth and he's eating it. When he's loes ve'ochel. When he's chewing and swallowing it. That's when it becomes his. That's within Mishel Shamayim. And it's sad that Mishel Shamayim, when does it become his then? If it's not really his. He can't give it to his wife and his kids. When does it become his? So Rashi says when it's matli yadeh, it becomes his. Tosfos says when he's loes ve'ochel. When he eats it. That's when it becomes his.
It's just food that he gets.
So the lashon there is that it. So this is going to be the nafka mina exactly between Rashi and Tosfos, and this is pointed out by the Minchas Chinuch. What say once he gets it, once he plucks it from the tree, can he then give it to his wife? Granted, he can't say meirosh, give this to my wife. If you hold Mishel Shamayim, if you hold Mishelo, you could say give it to my wife. But if you hold Mishel Shamayim, you can't say give it to my wife. Okay, I can't say that meirosh. But what if I pluck one off the tree? Can I then give it to my wife? So according to Rashi, Minchas Chinuch points this out. So according to Rashi, you can. Minchas Chinuch also says, what if the Baal HaBayis wants to take it back from him? You pluck it off the tree, and the Baal HaBayis takes it back. Can he be Mekadesh and Isha with it? Right, is it his? Is the over on Gezeila? Did he just take your thing from you? So according to Rashi, L'chora, once you've taken it off the tree, it's yours. You can now give it to your wife. If the Baal HaBayis takes it back from you, he's over in Gezeila. If he's Mekadesh and Isha with it now, it's not Mekudeshes. Why?
Because according to Rashi, the difference between Mishalo and Mishal Shamayim is just, is it yours immediately? It's part of your salary? Or does it only become yours once you've taken it off the tree? But Eino Chanami, at that point, it's yours. However, according to Tosfos, where it's not yours until you swallow it and you eat it, so obviously, you can never give it to your wife. You can't give it to her Meirosh, for sure. But even after you've plucked it off the tree, you can't give it to her. If you plucked it off the tree and he takes it back from you, it's his. Because it only becomes yours once you've eaten it. Now, which shita makes more sense? Rashi and Tosfos. Can we support one shita more than the other? Rashi's view or Tosfos' view? Again, these are two different opinions about what Mishal Shamayim means. So, the Bach points out that certainly Rashi's more meduyik in the sugya. Because the sugya says that if you hold Mishal Shamayim and you say, Tenu l'ishti, ain't shomen lo. If you say, give it to my wife, instead of to me, we don't listen to you. That's the chiddush of the din of Mishal Shamayim. Implication being, it's only because you said, give it to my wife. But if you'd actually have taken it, then of course you can give it to your wife. The only thing that we're coming lafuke is, if you say, give it to my wife. So that's more mashma like Rashi, that once you've taken it, though, it's yours. However, it could be that all of this is dependent on how you read the psukim. We pointed out, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, that the psukim themselves leave room for both understandings. The pasuk says, "Ki sovo bekerem reyecha, v'achalta anavim kenafshecha." So there, the first pasuk, Chaf Gimel Chaf Hey, is mashma like Tosos. It becomes yours v'achalta when you eat it. However, the next pasuk Chaf Hey says, "Ki sovo bekerem Chavov, ki sovo bekamas reyecha." The katafta mililos biodecha. If you are katafta, you take them off of the tree. Here the stress seems to be on the fact that you've separated them. So it could be that whichever pasuk is the one that you stress will give support to one of the perspectives. Right, the second one that says katafta biodecha is, you're saying even more biodecha, is mashma. It's yours already once you've taken it. And if you look at the first pasuk of Hey, where the focus is on the Abiyachalta, so it's mash more like Tosfos. What do we hold like halacha? So the Rambam, very interestingly, the Rambam says, if a person says, give it to my wife, or if a person says, I'm going to give to my wife some of the fruits that I've separated, ain't shomim lo. So the Rambam adds in that second case, which was not in the Braisa. He quotes first Tenula Ishti, but then he says, or I will give to my wife from that which I've picked, Ein Shelman Lo. So it's very clear in the Rambam. Why did he add that second case? In order to tell us that he's paskining, he's understanding the sugya like Tosfos. That it's not just the Lashon of the Braisa's Lav Dafka. It's not just if you say Tenula Ishti, they're Ein Shelman Lo. It's even if you've already picked them yourself, you still can't give them to your wife. Lechora, if you would take them off of the tree and give them to your wife, you or your wife have been over on Gizela from the Baal HaBayis, because you are not allowed to take them off the tree and give them to your wife. That's what the Rambam says. So he's paskening Mishel Olam. Excuse me. He's paskening Mishel Shamayim. And Mishel Shamayim al pi the Havana of Tosfos. The Tor quotes both opinions, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes, like the Lashon of the Rambam, quotes like Tosfos. Okay. I want to now just take a few minutes to give two explanations in Londus for the halacha, the way we paskin, Mishel Shamayim al pi Tosfos, that it only becomes yours once you've eaten it. So let's try to understand what's the yesod here, what's the explanation of this perspective. How come it's only yours once you've eaten it? Why is that the case? So the first explanation we're going to give is based on the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima writes that the yesod of the mitzvah of Achilas Po'ol Vasadeh is to benefit the Baal HaBayis. The reason why the Torah is mitzvah the Baal HaBayis to feed his workers is not for the worker, but it's for the Baal HaBayis. Because many times the worker is poor. And many times poor people don't eat well. And if the food supply that they have in their house, they use it for their children and for their wife, and they come to work and they're hungry. And therefore, if you don't give him the opportunity to eat while he's working, especially when he's working with food, if you don't give him the opportunity to eat, his production is not going to be good. He's not going to work well. You're not going to get
you're not going to get out of him the you know, the best quality work that you'd want to get out of him. And therefore, the Torah tells you to let him eat it, and it's for the benefit of the Baal HaBayis. And therefore, this is why it only becomes his once he eats it. Because we're not intending to give him anything. The Torah's not telling you give him something because we want to give. He has a salary. You don't have to give him food for him. If you want to give him a higher salary, so pay him a higher salary. We don't have to add in the food as part of his salary. Rather, the only reason we're giving him the food is in order to benefit the Baal HaBayis. And that's why the din is, it only becomes quote-unquote his once he eats it. Which is another way of saying, it's not his. It's for him to eat. And if he's not going to eat it, then he's not able to give it to somebody else. And again, we brought this mashal about you know, the guy working in the convenience store. He's working in a 7-Eleven, and the worker tells him, you know, you can have a Slurpee every shift. Now, the worker probably does that. The owner of the store probably does that because he wants you to be happy. He wants you to, you know, be hydrated. He wants you to enjoy the shift. He would not be happy if he walked in and he saw you giving your friend a Slurpee. And then when he says, what are you doing? Why are you giving this guy a Slurpee? You say, oh, well, you know, I'm entitled to one, so I'm passing on it, so I'm giving it to him. What do you mean? I gave it to you for you if you want one while you're working. I didn't give you one to decide to start giving it away to other people. According to the Torah Tamima, then, that could be the machlokas mishalo versus mishalolam. The man d'amru says mishalo holds. You know why we have a mitzvah of achilas poel basada? For the poel. It's for him. The Torah wants to give him a gift. And that's why he can give it to his wife. Mishalo, because it's his. That's what the opinion of mishalo holds. And the opinion that holds mishal shemayim holds, no, you're understanding fundamentally the mitzvah of achilas poel wrong. Achilas Poel is not to benefit the Poel. Achilas Poel is for the Baal HaBayis. And therefore, if you're not going to eat it, you can't give it to someone else. It's never yours. According to this Torah Tamima perspective, the Machlokas Mishalo and Mishal Shamayim is a very, very fundamental Machlokas about what is the nature of Achilas Poel Basada. Is it to benefit the worker, or is it to benefit the Baal HaBayis? And we Paskin Mishal Shamayim, we pass that it's for the Baal HaBayis, and that's why you can't give it to anybody else. That's one way to look at the Machlokes and the Pesach of Mishal Shamayim. I want to give it a second perspective, and from a certain perspective, I'm suggesting this as a different Hesber, although again, it is built on a certain sense off of the Torah Tamima, at least the way that the thinking method, although I am going to be using this primarily to be a foil for understanding the Rav Chaim. So, but I would like you. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah, that there. So that's what it means, that it's only yours once you eat it. It means it's never yours. We weren't giving it to you. We just want you to eat. So if you eat, it's yours, quote unquote. If you don't eat, it's not yours. It's never yours. Okay. The other explanation that I want to give is that perhaps, and this is very, very important for understanding Rav Chaim, perhaps there's a machlokas about a different element of what the nature. Again, we're going to explain it al pilondus, that it's a very mahuti, fundamental machlokas over what's the nature of the mitzvah of achilas poel. And this time we're going to say as follows. Is achilas poel a schus mamoni, or is it not a schus mamoni? Now again, in a certain sense, this is very similar to what we said for the Torah Tamima, just using like lomdish gemara terms. But it is fundamentally different. So try to think of the nuances as we speak about it. Is achilas poel besoda a schus mamoni for the poel? Or is it just a mitzvah b'yalma on the Baal HaBayis? What does that mean? Schus mamoni means a financial
obligation.
Or schus mamoni means it's a financial right. It's a, we're giving him.
Finances.
Hold on, we're getting there 1 second. Is it a schus mamoni, is it a financial arrangement? Is it that the worker gets a financial interest in the field? Meaning, the opinion that holds that achilas poel is mishal shamayim, and therefore he can't give it to his wife and kids, holds that the Torah wasn't giving a schus mamoni, a monetary schus, wasn't giving a schus mamoni to the poel. The Torah wasn't saying that you got to give fruits to the poel, now they're the poels. Rather, there's a mitzvah on the Baal HaBayis
to let the poel eat his fruits, his fruits being the balabayas' fruits. Is the mitzvah of achilas poel beside that you have a mitzvah to give fruits to the poel? I'm using English words now. To give fruits to the poel? Or is the mitzvah to let the poel eat your fruits?
Isn't that what we're saying all along? That's not how we define
mishalosh. Oh, so mishalo means mishalo. They're his. He's eating from his own fruits. There's a mitzvah to give him fruits. Meaning, there's a schus mamoni to the poel. He is now the financial owner of the fruits. We're giving him the fruits. Giving him as ownership that he now owns the fruits. He's eating. You're actually, you have a mitzvah to give him fruits. Hold on one second. That's if you hold mishalo. But if you hold mishal shamayim, so mishal shamayim means the Torah wasn't giving a zchus mamoni to the poel. The Torah wasn't telling the Baal HaBayis you have to give fruits to the poel. What the Torah was saying is you have a mitzvah to allow the poel to eat. In Achrami, they're your fruits, Mr. Baal HaBayis, but you have to allow him to eat your fruits while he's working. And therefore, if you hold Mishalo and there's a Chus Mamoni, he has the right, as the financial holder of those fruits, to award them to his wife instead of to him. Because he has momentous control over the fruits, because the Torah gave him a Chus Mamoni and the fruits. But if you hold Mishal Shamayim, it means, right, what Mishal Shamayim, like we have this phrase that when the Kohanim are eating the Karbanos, they're not their Karbanos. What does the Gemara say? Mishulchan Gavoa Ka'achli. They're eating on the table of God. Right, when I invite you to my house for a Shabbos meal, each piece of chicken you get, it's not that you've now been kona that piece of chicken, and now it's your chicken, so you're eating your chicken. You're eating on my table. It's my chicken. I just allow you to eat. You don't have a financial interest. It's an interesting question there. I saw a tshuva that once came up. If you're at a party at somebody's house and you open a Coke bottle and the inside of the Coke bottle says you just won $1 million, who gets the $1 million? The guy who took the Coke. I'm not talking about a big Coke bottle. Like, you know, like one of those like hand, those little handheld ones, right? So you're at someone's barbecue and they have a whole table of like 20-ounce bottles of Coke. So you go and take one, you open it, and boom, you won $1 million. Who gets the $1 million? You or the Baal HaBayis? Yeah, whole table of little ones. So who gets it? It's an interesting shaila. Did the Baal HaBayis put it out there to give it to you financially? It's like when you take it, it's yours. Like, for instance, could you take it and now me Mekadesh Nisha with that? Because he gave it to you, it's yours? Or, what do you mean, that happens all the time. Or, it's his Coke, he's just allowing you to take it. So Mayor, I see right away, saying like, if it was a big 2-liter bottle, so it's Pasha that's not yours. It's Pasha that's the Baal HaBayis's, right? What if you want to drink the whole bottle? Yeah, but that's not why he put out the bottle. But maybe when he put out the individual bottles, he was giving it to you. So that's an interesting question. I don't think anyone would think that if you eat a piece of chicken at my house, that I'm being machna to you the chicken. And it's now your chicken. And when you pick it up, you're doing a Maisikinyan, now it's your chicken. No one's saying that, right? So this is a little bit the question here. Is the poel getting awarded the fruits? They're his? That's if you say Mishalo, they're his. And when he gives it to his wife, it's because it's his. Or is it Mishal Shamayim? Meaning, these fruits are not yours. They're you like Hashem's fruits and he's allowing you to eat them. Meaning, they're being given to you to eat. Not as yours, but the Torah came and said to the Baal HaBayis, you have to let your worker eat. So you let your worker eat. But they're not his. There's no schus mamoni. That could be the machlokas between Mishalo and Mishal Shamayim. And we paskin Mishal Shamayim. The poel is not eating his own fruits, but the poel is eating the fruits because there's a mitzvah to allow the poel to eat the fruits. As we will see very soon, Rav Chaim comes afuke this explanation. But I like it a lot. I think it's a very, very nice explanation. It explains the machlokas Mishalo, Mishal Shamayim in very understandable terms. And we again have a very fundamental machlokas about the nature of achilas poel. Is the nature of achilas poel a zchus mamoni, or is it just a mitzvah bi'alma on the bialim? Okay. Rav Chaim, the Mishnah in Me'ilah. Rav Chaim, let's break it up into stages. Rav Chaim begins by noting some questions. The Mishnah in Me'ilah says that if a person has to muzzle his animal in Hekdesh Field, even though normally there's an Isser of Losach, so you're not allowed to muzzle your animal,
in a hektesh field, that doesn't apply. You muzzle your animal in hektesh field. An animal is not allowed to eat in hektesh field, even when it's working. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, "Mosach shom shor bedisho." You cannot muzzle an animal while it is doing its work in the field. Disho shelo. It's disho. It's disho. And the Gemara darshan's disho, it has to be a daish, which is roi to him. If it's something that the animal has no shaychus to, so then he can't eat there. What does it mean to have shaychus to it? So it means, the Gemara learns, that it means that if it's hekdesh, the animal does not eat in the field. He only eats in fields of chulin. But if it's a daish, it has to be a daish, haroi, lo. If it's not roi lo, which means that it's not hekdesh, that's the only place the din applies. If it's a hekdesh field, there's no din of lo sachsom, and you muzzle the animal. It can't eat the hekdesh. That's the drasha of disho. The Gemara there, the Mishnah there, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah there also says that a poel cannot eat in a hektesh field. What's the reason that a poel cannot eat in a hektesh field? That's because of the drasha of reyach. It says that the din of a poel eating in the field is dafka by a karam reyach, and it's coming to be mamayet a karam of hektesh. So, Rav Chaim asks the following question. The Gemara is very clear in Bava Metzia that we learn out dinim from shur to poel. The example he brings is the din of gemar malacha. Just like a shur only eats big gemar malacha, so to a poel only eats big gemar malacha. So that's it. It's on the books. We learn out dinim from shur to poel. Once we have it on the books that we learn dinim from shur to poel, why can't we just learn this din of hektesh from shur to poel? You have a drasha by shur. Disho, daish haroilo, to exclude hektesh. Just like a shur is excluded from hektesh, so to a poel should be excluded from hektesh. You don't need this drasha of reyacha, velo shel hektesh. Just learn it out from disho. This is Rav Chaim's first question. On the drasha of reyacha, why is it needed? Question number two. We have a drush of reyacha below shel hektesh. Besides the fact that you don't need it because you can learn it out from shur, isn't there another reason why you don't need it? You don't need it because there's a din on the books called me'ilah. You're not allowed to get benefit from a hektesh field, from anything that's hektesh. You're not even allowed to lean and rest on an animal of hektesh. It's getting hunned off from hektesh. So if you're not allowed to be nana from hektesh, if you're a poel, you obviously cannot eat in a field of hektesh. Even if you're a poel who's allowed to eat in the field that he's working in. It's hektesh. You don't need a drasha for that. You already have a din of me'ilah. To this,
isn't it me'ilah?
So Tosfos answers this question. Tosfos says, just like gezel is mutter, meaning you're not normally allowed to eat in someone else's field either. But the Torah tells you there's a din that a poel eats in a field, even though it's not his field. So just like, seemingly, and Tosfos answers this, just like the mitzvah of achilas poel overrides gezel, eating in someone else's field, so too we would have thought that it overrides me'ila.
Just like gezel is mutter, so too we would think me'ila is mutter.
Now, Chaim asks, what exactly does that mean? We think that the mitzvah of achilas poel just overrides the iser me'il like it does with gezel? Hello? And we'll get there in a second. So this is the introduction to what we're discussing. It's all about the drasha of reyacha. This is our introduction. End of part one. Okay. Part two in Rav Chaim.
Thank you.
Rav Chaim begins his whole discussion by being mechalik between poel and shur. That's how everything begins. The chiluk between poel and shur. Poel, says Rav Chaim, is a zchus mamon. The fact that the Torah says that a poel eats in the field that he's working in means that the Torah gives the poel a zchus mamon in the field that he's working in. Zchus mamon means that he gets an ownership over the fruits. The Torah tells the balabayas, you have to give the fruits, not just allow him to eat. You have to give the fruits to the poel. He has a financial interest. The din of achilas poel is a dine mominis din, that the poel gets the right to eat in the field. Now, we already know a little bit about achilas poel. We've been spending a week on it. You might say, oh, that's true if you hold mishalohu ochel. But not if you hold mishel shamayim hu ochel. Comes along Rav Chaim and says, no, even if you hold mishel shamayim hu ochel, the din of achilas poel is a din in mominis. It's a zchus mamoni.
It's a zchus mamon. No matter what you hold, mishalohu or mishalohu.
Oh, what's the machlokas, mishalo or mishalolam? Okay, so it's a machlokas at what point the Torah gives you a financial interest in the fruits. Does it automatically go to you? Ad kidei kach, you can give it to your wife and kids, mishalo? Or is it mishal shamayim? It's only after you've actually started to eat the fruits, chew them and swallow them, that they become your fruits. But lamaisa, they're your fruits. Right, we brought this question up before. You know, someone's barbecue. We had a little bit of a debate about this. I invite you to my house for a barbecue, and I put out on the table some soda cans, whatever, soda bottles, 20-ounce soda bottles. And you're my guest, and you open up the soda bottle. You take a soda bottle. Is that your soda bottle? Come to my house to eat on Shabbos. It's your chicken when you take it onto the plate, or it's my chicken, it's just I invited you, so you're allowed to eat it. You have a monetary interest in the chicken now? When you take that pulky onto your plate, it's now your pulky? Or it's my pulky, you're just allowed to eat it? Yaakov, you're supposed to ask at this point, is that like Yiddish or something? What does the word polki mean? That, you know, okay. There's a chicken wing, or a chicken leg, a drumstick. Is that your drumstick? Or it's my drumstick, you're eating it. And we asked a really fascinating Shaila. I have a barbecue at my house, and we have like a whole table of soda cans or soda bottles, little soda bottles, not big ones for everyone to share. Individual soda bottles for each person to take. And you take one, you open up the top, boom, it says on the cap, and you just won $1 million. Who won $1 million? I won $1 million? I bought it. It's mine. Or you get $1 million because it's now your soda bottle. It's your soda bottle? Or you're just eating, you're just drinking the soda bottle in my house. I gave you the right to drink a soda bottle in my house. So it's an interesting question. What would I think if you took one and put it in your pocket and you like start to walk home, like, where are you going with the soda bottle? And you say, what do you mean? You're giving them out. I'm taking one home for my wife. I wasn't putting them out for you to take them for people. I was having a barbecue. If you'd like some soda, you're welcome to have some soda in my house. That's my soda. It's my cap. I won $1 million, not you. That's an interesting discussion we're not going to discuss right now. But says Rav Chaim, that no matter what you hold, Mishelo, Mishel Shamayim, it's a Zuchus Mamon. It's Pashit that it's yours by the mitzvah of Achilas Poel. Not the soda bottle case necessarily. But when a Poel eats in the field, he's eating his stuff. There's a schus mamon for the poem. His proof, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the din of achilas poel even applies to a Gentile baal bayis employing a Gentile worker. The Gentile worker has the right to eat. Now why is that? If you would look at achilas poel as just like this mitzvah in the Torah, you have to let him eat. It's not his. You have to let him eat. Why would that ever apply to a Gentile? He doesn't have that mitzvah. It's not one of the shemitzvahs b'nei Noach. But if it's a monetary, Torah views this as monetary justice. That when someone's working in your field, he gets the right to eat, and he gets the monetary right, and dinei mominis, that's his. Well then maybe, since Gentiles are part of the dinim of Gezel and dinim, so dinei mominis might apply to them. This is what Rav Chaim suggests as proof. All of this is opposed to, that's all by a poem, a zechus mamon. All of this is opposed to a shur. A shur is a mitzvah b'alma. Nobody is going to say that the reason why a shur can eat in my field, if Donnie Shur is working in my field, I have a din, I have to feed Donnie Shur while he's working. I can't muzzle him. Why? Is it because I have a financial responsibility to Donnie, the owner of the shur? There's a zchus mamon. Donnie has a zchus. The Torah is mezakeh him. He has a zchus mamon in the field. And therefore, when Donnie's animal's eating, he's really eating Donnie's food because I have a din. I have to give food to Donnie for his animal to eat? Of course not. Lo sachsot is just a din. It's just a mitzvah. A mitzvah bi'alma that I have a chiyuv to not stop his animal from eating. But it's my food. As that food is going down his throat, that's my food that he's eating. It didn't become his food in dinei mominis. And that's pashut, Rav Chaim says, because I have a din even by my own animal. If it was all about that the animal owner or the animal has a zchus mamon, it wouldn't apply then to my own animal. Why should my own animal have a claim of zchus mamon against me and I have a, or there's, if it's Donnie's animal, so then there's room to say that maybe there's zchus mamon, but by my own animal? And yet lo sachsom applies even by your own animal. You're not allowed to muzzle your own animal. Chaim sees this as a raya, that it's a mitzvah, it's an iser. It's yoredeya, it's iser v'heter. It's not dollars and cents, it's not money, it's not dine mominus. There's another proof that lo sachsom doesn't apply to a goy. Again, why doesn't it apply to a goy? A goy is allowed, if a goy is allowed to work the animal and not muzzle the animal. Why? Why should that be? If it's a zchus mamon, so then there's room to say that it should apply by a goy. If it's just a mitzvah b'yamo, so it makes sense, it doesn't apply by a goy. So this is a very vital chiluk that Rav Chaim is making. That poel is a din of zchus mamon, and shur is a mitzvah. But this is not enough yet to answer the question. Even though we found a difference between them, we still can't say, Natalia, you were asking about this, that you can't learn out poel from shur, just because they're different. Because we have it on the books that you can learn out poel from shur, by the din of gemar malacha. So this is stage 2 in Rav Chaim, between Mechali, between Poel and Shur. Stage 3 in Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim now goes to address Tosus' question and his answer by Me'ilah. Tosus had said, what do we need a pasuk to exclude a Poel from eating in a Hekdesh field? Reach HaBaloshel Hekdesh. Why don't you just learn now from the Din Me'ilah? There's a Din Me'ilah. You're not allowed to get benefit from Hekdesh, so you obviously can't eat in the field. So Tosus answered, no, we would have thought that just like the Din of Achilas Poel is Matir the Isser Gezel, it's also Matir the Isser of Me'ilah. So Rav Chaim first begins by telling us what that does not mean. What that does not mean is that Lo Sachsom does not apply, the Isser of Lo Sachsom does not apply, right? What does Rav Chaim say?
It's a
Jewish cow in a Gentile field, right? That's what he says? If a Nachri is working, he has a field, and he has a Jewish owned cow, he is borrowing a Jew's cow, he has no iser to muzzle the animal. He's allowed to muzzle the animal if he wants. Why? Isn't there maybe a zchus mamon that there's a... No, because there's no zchus mamon. It's all an isser. It's all about mitzvah. There's no mitzvah on the guy. Mitzvah doesn't have this isser of lo sachsom. Okay. So Tosfos first tells us what it does not mean. When Tosfos says, just like gezel is mutter, I would think me'ilah is mutter, that does not mean that the mitzvah of achilas poel just overrides yisurim. There's a mitzvah. You're allowed to eat in the field. Oh, I'm allowed to eat in the field? Okay, well, that means that it's not gezel. Because, you know, it was his field, but now apparently there's no Isser Gezel, I can eat. Okay, what if I'm a Nazir, and it's grapes, I guess I can eat them, because there's a mitzvah, the Torah says, if you're a worker, you're allowed to eat in the field. No. A Nazir still can't eat grapes. If it's Meiser Sheni, which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat the Meiser Sheni. If you're working in a field that's filled with Meiser Sheni, you're not allowed to eat in the field. Let's say, okay, whatever the mitzvah is of what this... Good, in the field, he was korei shemi, he made it maiser shemi. Very good. I mean, we can think of a lot of examples. Let's say it's arla. You're working in a field, and the field is arla. And you're not supposed to eat arla for the first 3 years of a plant's growth, okay? Whatever the situation is, whatever iser is going to be chal on the animal, on the plants, on the fruits, you're not allowed to eat them just because there's a mitzvah of achilas poel. So what does the Tosfos mean? Just like the Isser of Gezel is Matir, so too the Isser of Me'ilah was Matir. That does not mean that all Isurim are Matir. What does it mean? It means something very specific. It means that the reason why there's no Gezel is not because Gezel was overpowered. I would say it was trumped, but I don't know if we're allowed to use that word anymore in like regular, now it has a very specific meaning right now. It probably means that someone like tweeted about the field and like ripped the field apart on Twitter or something. So, Gezel is mutter. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that... Mori, stop making faces, please. It doesn't mean that the din of Achilas Poel Besadeh overrides the Isser. What it means is, as we've been saying, that Achilas Poel Besadeh is dine mamonis. It is chus mamon. It means I am the owner of those fruits. So you know why there's no gezel? Not because we overpowered the Isser of gezel, because we made the Isser gezel no longer shayach. It's my fruits now. No one's going to say that if I sell you my iPod, my iPhone, and now you take the iPhone, oh wow, look at that. Through the sale, now gezel's mutter. I mean, it's not gezel. Now it's mine, so it's not gezel anymore. That's what achilas poel is. Achilas poel means they're your fruits. So there's no gezel. Says Tosfos, that would also matir mi'ilah. Why? So Rav Chaim says this is a raya for his yesod, for the yesod, that mi'ilah is a din in dinei mominus. Mi'ilah is stealing from hekdesh. When a person gets hana from hekdesh, and we call that mi'ilah, that's not just pure iser v'heter. There's an iser to get hana. That's dinei mominus. That's considered stealing from hekdesh. And Rav Chaim brings some proofs. He brings the first one, Lashon Gemara, in Me'ilah al-Shinoi. He brings a number of other proofs where the dinim of Gezeilah apply to Hekdesh. For instance, in order to be over on Gezeilah, you have to steal a Shavapruta. Guess what? In order to be over on Hekdesh, you need to be over on Hekdesh of a Shavapruta. Mechtesi. Why do you need a certain monetary value of Hana in order to be over? If it's Usser to get Hana, right? If it's Usser to get Hana from Hekdesh, so once you get Hana, it doesn't matter if you have a monetary value of Hana. So Rav Chaim sees this. He brings a couple of other examples. The idea that a prut is mitzdarif. All of these things are pointing to the idea that Hekdesh is a dine mominus din. That Mi'ilah is a dine mominus din. That Mi'ilah means to steal from Hekdesh. It's Gezel Hekdesh. And therefore, says Rav Chaim, that's why Tosfos says we would have had a Havamina, that Mi'ilah is mutter. He didn't mean, just like Gezel's mutter, other Isurim are mutter. He meant Mi'ilah specifically, because Mi'ilah is a form of Gezelah. And what Tosfos meant was, if you didn't have Re'acha, I would have thought, just like the Torah gives us Chus Mamon to the Poel, it's now his fruits, and therefore there's no Gezel. So too, the Torah gives you the fruits, and there's no longer Mi'ilah. Why? Because Mi'ilah means you're getting Hana from Hekdesh's fruits. Well, guess what? They're not Hekdesh's fruits. The Torah gave them to me. So there's no Gezelah. There's no Gezelah from a hedgeot. And there's no Gezelah, what we call Mi'ilah, there's no Gezelah from Hekdesh. And therefore, that's why if I didn't have the drush of Re'acha, I would have thought that it would have been mutter in a Hekdesh field. And Mi'ilah wouldn't have been enough. Comes along the Torah and says Re'acha, that in a Hekdesh field, the Torah does not give you a Zechus Mamon. In a Chanami, if you got a Zechus Mamon, it wouldn't be Mi'ilah. But comes along the Pasuk and says Re'acha velo shel Hekdesh. Only in a Chulin field does the Torah give you a Zechus Mamon to take and eat fruits. But in a Hekdesh field, the Torah doesn't give you the Zechus Mamon. Take your questions in a second. With this idea, that was stage 3, to explain Tosfos, what he means, the equation between Gezeilah and Mi'ilah. With that, we can go on to the final stage, and that's now to answer the original question. How come we couldn't learn out Poel from Shur? Disho. We know on the books, you're allowed to learn out Poel from Shur. We knew that from the din of Gemar Malacha. Comes along with Chaim and says, I'll tell you why. Because, not just because they're fundamentally different, because one is Chus Mamon, and one is a mitzvah. That wasn't enough to stop us to learn the din of Gemar Malacha. It's much more fundamental than that, and it's built on what we just said about Mi'ilah. You know why we couldn't use the drasha of Disho? Because what was the drasha of Disho? The drasha of Disho came and said, when you have a shur, and there's this mitzvah on the shur that you have to let him eat, well, that doesn't apply in Hekdesh. You know why? Because it's got to be Dayash HaRoyelo. It has to be something that normally a cow can eat. Cows normally can only eat from chulin. They can't. You can't feed your animal Hekdesh. So the field is a field that's off limits to a cow. It's not Roylo. Disho is not Roylo. And don't tell me that the Isser or the mitzvah of Losachso is going to allow him to eat because the Torah limits Losachso to fields of chulin. Okay. Can I apply that to a poel? Of course I can't. Why? Because a poel is a zechus mamo. It's not just a mitzvah. It's not just a din of lo sachzom and aveira, a mitzvah, an iser. But poel is a zechus mamon. And what that means is that when the Torah gives the poel a zechus mamon, there is no mi'ilah. Dayesh haroilo is a drasha that something that's hekdesh klapeyu and not yours, you can't give to the shur. But by poel, the Torah makes it mine. So by poel, if I didn't have this reyach of alo shel hekdesh, I would have said the zechus mamon makes the hekdesh field mine. So just like it's mine, it's also not dayesh in a roilo. Meaning, if you're going to take the drush of Daesh Ainu Roilo and try to apply it to a Poel, well, guess what? By a Poel, that's considered Daesh Roilo. Why? Because it became Roil to me by having a Zechus Mamon. You see, a cow never gets a Zechus Mamon. So the field will never be considered Roilo for a cow. Because cows don't get a Zechus Mamon. No Sachsom's not a Zechus Mamon.
Isn't that part of the same fundamental difference, Tom?
No, but the point is that even though there are times when you can learn out one from the other, here, applying the drush of Daesh Aroilo is not going to help if you apply it to a poel. It works by a cow to exclude a cow from eating, because Lamaisa with a cow, there's no schus mamon, the field always remains hektesh, klape the cow. And it's not roilo, so how can he eat it? He can't just override Isurim. If the cow was a nazir, he can't eat, grapes.
To override
what?
To eat from
Hekdesh.
Right?
Daesh
Haroilo.
I understand that. The Torah comes and says the cow's allowed to eat in the field. Doesn't mean that it became the cow's.
Even within the ability for the animal to eat, we say you can't eat from Hekdesh.
100%. That's the drush of Daesh Haroilo. Daesh Haroilo limits. Los Achsum's a magic trick because it's just a mitzvah. It's not a din in mominus. There's no reason why the cow should be able to eat in my field. In Dine Momenis, this is my food. Why should your cow be able to? The Torah came and made a mitzvah. Let him eat. Let him eat what? Let him eat your food. It's your food. So let him eat your food. Okay, but the Torah also put a limitation on that. That allowance to allow a cow to eat food that's not his doesn't apply by Hekdesh. Why? Because it's not Roilo. Okay, great. Let's apply that to a Poel now. You can't. Why? Because when the Torah said a Poel eats, it didn't just say allow him to eat. It said it's now his. Oh, well, if it's now mine, so it's no longer hektashis. So it's no longer Dayashay Neroilo. Tell me you're going to put a drush on me, Dayashay Neroilo? Very nice, but the hektash is roi to me. Because the zchus mon that the Torah gave me makes the hektash mine. This is all if we didn't have the drush of Reach HaVelo Shel Hektash. So Reach HaVelo Shel Hektash comes and tells me, you don't have a zchus mon by hektash. You don't have a zchus mamon by hektesh. And therefore, what Rav Chaim has beautifully, brilliantly done, he has showed not only why do you need a separate drasha of reyacha, and it's not enough, the isser of me'ila, but also why you couldn't apply the drasha of Daesh haroilo that we find by Los Achsom and apply it to a poel. And with this, it... Yes, I will say it one more second. Yeah.
Reyacha, all it does is turns it back into meal again. So then we do need Daesh to tell us.
No, you don't. Well, no, don't need Daesh anymore because now you have Reyacha. What? You have
but
a drush.
Reyacha turns into meal. It wasn't meal, so Daesh doesn't apply anymore. So now that we have Reyacha, it turns into meal.
Daesh only. Daesh was said by a shur, wasn't said by a poel. Now the question is, should we be using this drush of Reyacha to exclude a poel, or should we just use Daesh? And the answer is no. Daesh alone is not going to exclude you from eating in a hektesh field. Only when you have reyacha are you excluded. Now, in a chanami, now that you have reyacha, it's also not daesh haroi to you, but we don't need daesh anymore because we have reyacha. In a chanami, once we have reyacha, which means that you don't have a zchus mamon in a hektesh field, which means the hektesh field is not yours, which means that if you eat there, you're over on me'ila. So you're right, it's also going to be a daesh which is not roi to you. But we don't need to apply that anymore because we have Reyacha. Yeah.
First of all, if we would have just learned from Shor, from Reyacha, from Shor, that it would only be things that are right to it, why would we have thought like that Hektesh is considered something that's right to the guy?
Hektesh is usually not something that's right to a person, unless the Torah gives you a Schus Mamon in Hektesh.
But, okay,
in other words, you have to go in chronological order here. The Torah told you that a poel is allowed to eat. A poel allowed to eat means that the field that he's in, that stuff becomes his. Okay. Stage one. Okay. So that means it doesn't matter if you're in my field, if you're in Yoni's field, if you're in the Hekdesh field, it becomes yours. This is all in the world where there's no Reacha. Hold on 1 second. So there's no Reacha. So the Hekdesh field is mine now. Comes along a din by animals, by, and we're going to try, I'm saying also, I told Ruben I would say it again. So we have this idea of Lo Sachsom, you're only allowed to eat things that are Shayach to be yours, not things that are not Shayach to be yours. So we come along, so that prevents an animal from eating in Hekdesh, because the Hekdesh isn't the animals. You can't normally feed an animal Hekdesh. Oh, so let's apply it to a Poel. We'll say, oh, well, you know what? Poel already got a Hekdesh to eat in the field because it becomes his. If it became his, it's not Hekdesh anymore. It became his.
Why does it have to work like that? It's not going to be the fact that the shore, in fact, by shore, no good for Hekdesh. So too, no good by the person. Meaning you're saying the schus comes first.
No.
My ability to, it's roi to me, so then if I went to the shore, or learned from shore,
because
it would be considered roi to me. Why can't I just learn?
Because you have to look, that's exactly the point. It's not just like learn out A to B. You have to look at what A is.
Right.
The din over there is that you're not allowed to eat things that you don't have a schus mamon in. That's basically what Daisha Roi Lo means.
Right.
You can't eat things you don't have a schus mamon in. Oh, well, wait a second. If the whole yisod of polo is that you get a schus mamon,
right.
So it's true. I can't eat things I don't have a schus mamon in. That din is still correct.
You can't say that.
Right?
What's going to be different?
In other words, we're going to take it and apply it by polo. So what's it? It is, you can't eat things you don't have a schus mamon in. Okay, let's apply that by polo. You can't, it doesn't say you can't eat hekdesh.
Right.
It doesn't say, but doesn't say Daisha Roy Lo Disha Velo Shel Hekdesh. Hold on, it doesn't say Disha Velo Shel Hekdesh. It says Disha Velo Disha Shein Roy Lo. So let's apply that by a Poel. Well, by a Poel, guess what? It's Roy to me because the Torah gave me a Schos Mamon. And therefore you need Reyacha to come and to answer to you Hekdesh.